Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday was, I'll allow myself to be loved, but not, dot, 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 record and listen. And here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Diane in Boulder.
Hi, Diane.
And I'm sorry, I have to turn something off.
We've got a lot of background.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway, it's off. So.
Okay. And Diane, we seem to have an echo. Did it go away? Actually?
Still an echo?
Well, let's see how it goes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm not hearing it. I allow myself to love. What I've been seeing is, but not have any needs.
Aha.
That's kind of what's been coming up with me recently, is seeing how I do that. And then I, the voices of self-hate come in because obviously I do have needs.
And what do the voices of self-hate tell you you should do differently? So, Sherry, the sound quality is really bad. Yeah. Diane, do you have a phone and a computer on or anything like that?
No, I only have a phone right now.
Okay.
Is there something I can do on my end?
Are you on speaker, Diane?
I don't know that I can put it off speaker, because I think when I use start meeting, it automatically does speaker. Is this any better? Or different?
Much better. No, much better.
Yeah. Actually. It is for a second, and then it's not again.
So it's just as bad right now?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have earbuds?
I do. I'm not using them. Do you want me to try that?
Let's try that. Yeah, let's try that real quick. Otherwise, maybe we try to call back in or something.
Is this any better?
So far, so
much
good.
Better.
Yeah.
Better.
You sound great. Great.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Where were we?
Okay. You're allowed to love.
Ooh,
that's a bad echo.
Should I hang up and call in on the computer? And if you can pick me up, then great.
Yeah, that's fine, Diane. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. Bye.
No, it's not your fault.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So I'll watch out for her in the queue, Sherry, and we'll go to our next caller.
All right, great. Thank you.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Lucinda at Lake Tahoe.
Hello, Lucinda.
Hey, Lucinda.
Hello. I've been enjoying these but not exercises and how I love that comment a few days ago about how you could just put a period at the end of it, you know, to be loved but not. Yeah. So that I've been practicing that with each one of them, what it's like to be loved but not. To be loved but not. To do what I want but not. To play but not. And, you know, on examination, that is a very persistent and really relevant state that I find I'm in all the time. I mean, when I'm aware,
yep.
You know,
and
here's the state.
I can guarantee you, you're not in that state alone.
Yeah.
Because what you're seeing in this, Lucinda, is that we're constantly being pulled into the world of duality. And without that, with this exercise, I'm allowed to be loved. Period. No but. No exceptions. Unconditional. That's a whole different world.
It sure is. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in that place, like, I don't know, like, suddenly I become aware of conditioning running a story, and my first response is, oh, what do I do? There it is.
Uh-huh.
And my next go-to recently has been, I choose unconditional love.
Uh-huh.
And it shifts everything.
Everything.
Like, my being knows what that is.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Even
and
if the go ahead.
No.
Well, even if the exact action or response or whatever it is isn't spelled out.
Yes.
Still,
yes,
right.
Because it doesn't matter, does it? The only
right.
thing that actually
no.
matters is that you're choosing unconditional love. And the fun part about that is that it takes us immediately from the ego-maintaining world of do, because it wants you to come up with something that you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And choosing unconditional love is not a doing. It's an undoing. It's an undoing of duality. So you've hit upon, you have been offered, and you have received from the intelligence that animates the perfect go-to for ego's attempt to pull us into its world of duality. I choose unconditional love.
It's such a, I'd like to practice that to the extent that it's a knee-jerk reaction in all situations.
And so,
instead
and
of,
so, and so you shall. And
yes.
So you shall.
Uh-huh.
If that's
yeah,
what you
I'm
want. Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And it, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's another way that ego wants to pull us into making this something to do. So now it's a self-improvement program. Now you're going to have to figure out how you're going to, and instead you realize it's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
Already happening. I don't actually need to do anything. Every time my attention goes there, I choose unconditional love. Now, if we want to, of course, we can put little signs on the walls and all of those little reminders to choose unconditional love. That's a perfectly acceptable and, in fact, wonderful thing. But it's not a self-improvement program. It's just helping me to remember what I already know to be true, what I already choose. All right.
It certainly feels like that. Thank you.
Right. You are so welcome.
I can
with great confidence say, go happy.
Yes. Go happy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lucinda. I have Diane back, Sherry, so let me bring her back.
Oh, excellent.
Here we go. Diane?
Hi. Is this better, I hope?
You sound
yes.
good. And there is no echo. Oh, my gosh. We have a technological miracle. Okay. So
which this whole thing is, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. Okay, so you're allowed to be loved, but not to have needs. So you can be loved as long as you don't need anything, or nobody knows you need anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the ego setup.
Mm-hmm.
Conditioning.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think people who love you don't know that you have needs?
I'm pretty sure that they must. Unless
they're
dumb people.
they do know, don't they? And yet, what the kind of the game, the conditioned game we get into in relationships is, so I know you have these needs, but they seem to be upsetting to you on some level. I may never think about this consciously, but I get it. And so I just don't mention it, because you don't mention it, and I don't want to intrude. You know, if you, then I don't want to cross a line, and right? And so we just dance that dance together. I know, we pretend we don't, because that takes care of everybody's ego.
Maybe. I think it comes up so much in my relationship with my daughter, and I don't think she thinks I have needs. I don't think she gets that.
Children probably don't. Which is fine, right? Because you don't want your daughter to be meeting needs of yours, do you?
Well, yes and no. It's not her job to run around meeting my needs, but it is her job to respect that I have needs. Like, right now I need a little quiet in the house.
And that is part of your relationship with her, to assist her to learn these things.
Yeah, and
be
I
sensitive in this way.
Yes. And I
now,
what pops in for me is then I feel like I'm not allowed to have those needs, because that's so.
Well, here's something I want you to consider, okay, should you choose to do so. Needs are very, very specific. Wants are endless. Needs are things like food and sleep and enough warmth or cool not to either freeze or bake. Needs are very limited. Wants go on forever. So the fact of the matter is, you want quiet in the house.
Yes.
You don't need it.
Correct. I'm not allowed to.
And, yes. And so that's what you're going to work on. Because in that relationship, what you're going to do is model for a child how a person is able to navigate relationships in an unconditional way that works for everybody. Okay, so there's your assignment.
All right.
All right, let me know.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Diane.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Stay cool.
Bye now.
You want of
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Diane. And it's such a fascinating thing to recognize how, you know, there's a desire for something, and then the contradiction or the conflict or the suffering that's created because we're told we can't have it.
Yeah.
And so, and because we can't have it, then we're in that process of having it and not having to have it, like not having to have it. I remember mm-hmm. you said something to somebody about, why don't you go and buy yourself everything that you ever wanted so that you know you don't want it,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't satisfy you. In other words, wanting it doesn't produce what it's, what having it doesn't produce what you're promised. But that
yeah.
ego dynamic where I want something and then I'm not allowed to have it, and being stuck in that actually assists us from articulating how we could get what we want.
Yes, precisely. And in so many relationships, it's not, aside from the relationship with ego,
it's not that difficult. It comes down to communication, which of course almost uniformly we are forbidden, right?
I was just looking at that, Sherry. You were talking about that ego boundary of fear, right? As soon as you move to express anything that you want, there is that identity which is locked into non-expression that's maintained that gets completely threatened, and the level of anxiety and the level of fear, the level of whatever that sensation is that prevents us from just saying what's going on for us, so what we want. And when we do, it's such an important validation. It's like such a relief. Because up to that point, it doesn't matter if we get it or not, but we've counted ourselves in, you know, as opposed to being negated and kept out of the conversation by this suppressed energy of not being able to say it just builds and builds and builds. You can tell I have a lot of experience with this one.
Well, and that's perfectly described. To me, the most important piece of all of that is if I just say what is so for me, especially if I pick up the recorder and say what's so for me, and then I listen to it, I am heard. I am expressing, and I am being heard. There, the primary need is satisfied.
That's right. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. From which point there's enough energy left to pay attention to the universe and then actually be able to, not from a charged place, really talk about what might be, what might arise that is not necessarily related to what was going on. And what I mean by that is, it's not that you can't ask for quiet or you can't ask for what you want, but there's a way in which the desire, when expressed from an unmet place of not being heard, is actually very different from what is expressed when the need to be heard is met.
Yes. And the word that you use that points at that is charged. When we're identified with ego, it's all charged. And the projections are flying, and the beliefs and the assumptions, and I just hit that ego boundary and got slammed and thrown across the room. But when it, when we're here at center, none of it is charged. It's just really interesting. And from that calm, kind place, we increase our chances of being successful.
Yes, because what I was looking at is that the identification leads to an ask from an identified place leads to separation. An ask from a centered place does not. And that's what the ego is counting on.
The separation, yes, precisely. Well, it's very good, isn't it?
It's good to see how it works.
Yes.
All right, my cue is back. Here we go. Next caller here on live.
We've been waiting for more technological miracles. All right, good. Well, that was fun in the interim. That was a fun diagramming. So thank you for that. Who do we have?
Here we go. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ladima.
Well, hello, Ladima.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini.
Hello.
So I've been really interested to hear how this, how other people are kind of making sense of this exercise. Because I have to say, when I first started it, I'm like, my first thought was, I don't get it.
This one specifically, Ladima, or the whole page
of these.
Okay.
So, and I just kind of sat there and looked at it. And one of the things that I realized as I looked at it was that how my mind goes to think about it takes an exercise and tries to find what's wrong. So it's like going out and looking for something that's wrong that needs to be fixed, or like I need to be they need to expose all the bad stuff. So that was kind of the first thing.
That's where I talk about conditioned mind as something wrong, not enough.
Yes, exactly.
And, which is what you're describing, yeah.
And there's a way in which it feels like I'm a good student if I'm looking for the things that are wrong.
That's right. That is the mark of an educated person.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can find something wrong with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the more educated a person is, the more subtle are the places that they can find something wrong, which is very sad when we look at it.
Yes, it really is.
Mm-hmm. So the little story, Ladima, the little story that I use that goes with that is that I'm whatever, and somebody gives me a glass of wine. And I think, oh, my gosh, this is really good. You know, I really like this. It's an $8 bottle of wine, okay? And I begin to move up in things, and I go to the $20 bottle of wine and then the $40 bottle of wine. And then, you know, I'm in the $80 to $100 bottle of wine category, and it's good. It's really good. And, of course, I would laugh at somebody drinking an $8 bottle of wine and thinking it was good. I mean, that's just pathetic, right? And I keep going, and finally, there I am in France, and I have a friend who has a cave with some of the oldest bottles of wine in existence. I mean, we are talking expensive bottles of wine, okay?
Right.
And one of them is opened, and here's my glass of it. And I pick it up, and I take a taste. And what occurs to me is, well, you know, I'm really not sure that it's any better than.
Yeah.
And I have just educated myself to the point that I can't enjoy anything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. That's,
It's a stunning picture, isn't it? And yet, I think we can all relate. You know, the things that used to give us delight when we were children, we've moved so far beyond that that most of the delight is a promise for something that we're going to get in the future.
Yeah. It's very sad.
we want to get back here to delight, right? Lose all that sophistication. Let's let it go and just get right here.
Yeah. So the thing that actually, you know, the other day when we said, okay, we're going to change the wording of the exercise and I did. I scratched it out and I wrote, I'm allowed to, as opposed to I allow myself to. And the exercise made a lot more sense to me then.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it was almost like
that's
everyone.
That's what's really going on. Right?
Yeah.
We're being controlled. That's what we get to see in that change.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was like a two-parter. It's like, okay, how is it that I'm controlled whether I can to play? You know, how is it that I'm allowed to play? And then, but not what, you know, but not this, you know. So that was, it made more sense.
See?
But I still could see the, what didn't stop was the that system that looks for what's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that's good about this, Ladima, because we are practicing awareness, and that kind of awareness, what that's going to do is completely shift your relationship to it, right? So now you're on to that for the ego conditioned mind system that it is, that it's doing that, and it's controlling you through that. So now you've stepped back, right? You've disidentified from that. You've stepped back, and now you're going to be able to watch that process. And I predict that what happens as you do that is you have a growing sense of yourself as the awareness that is able to watch that. And that is immensely enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I'm starting to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of what happened first, before that, or like was conditioning, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, not just standing idly by and throwing thoughts, you know, into the mix, but a full-on takeover assault.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
To the point I could see what was happening, but I was completely powerless
to stop it. And
I just had to go to bed.
I
would
tell you that is the very best place a person can be in awareness practice. You're completely in it, and you're seeing it. What this does is bring tremendous compassion for the human being who is trapped in that system. Stay with me on this. Now, my encouragement would be to listen to the recording of this show, this conversation, okay? And listen to it enough that you recognize yourself in each of the places that I'm pointing to. And then recognize that the only way you can do that is that you are stepped back in awareness, observing the process. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, we've got some assignments today, huh?
I guess.
Very good.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Then you're going to let me know.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks, Ladima.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks,
bye now.
And Sherry, I think we can squeeze one more caller in, so here we go.
Good.
Next caller.
Right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me? This is Patty from Vancouver.
I can hear you loud and clear, Patty.
So I was listening to the last caller, and I had a similar experience yesterday around a full assault of ego thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And
under siege.
Under siege. And this question of, I allow myself to be loved, but it's when you said earlier in the call, I allow myself to be loved, period. My heart just, I just felt that in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wish in this human that I could carry that and really believe
if I may, it was what you felt in your heart was a leap of recognition.
Mm.
You felt the truth of that in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then the place to be really careful of is that process of, well, gosh, I wish I could be there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I so wish that was my experience. And slowly, with that kind of conversation, which sounds so sincere and real and you, right? It's being framed. It's being turned into something that is not your experience. But you need to somehow strive for it, and long for it, but not really have it.
And make a project out of it.
That's right. But in fact, you had the experience.
Mm.
Now it's just repeating that experience.
Mm.
So you could make that a little mantra for a while if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm allowed to be loved, period. You could do that, add that exercise of, looking at various things and doing the, I love you. Do you love me? Try that with a flower or a tree or a bird or whatever, and realize that they do love you. You are loved.
Yeah, instead of the I allow myself, I'm allowed to be loved if, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
When.
If, when, yeah.
Nope. You are loved. That's what we need to claim. We are loved. It's so obvious that we are loved. And that's what we need to claim, not this ego distancing, separating.
Right.
Or when, or there was that time. Those things are over. You are loved. I am loved. We are loved.
Yes. And that could go for all of these on this page.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a whole different page, isn't it?
It is. It is.
All right. Well,
thank you so
Patty.
Much. Okay.
Bye.
Thank you very much. And thank you for this show. It really is a support.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is.
Just a good time. Like it. We get together and we have a good time. Not every day, not all the time. When it's difficult, there's a context.
Yes.
And we can put that difficulty in a context, and we can remember that it's fine. We're doing awareness practice.
There's nothing wrong.
And there's nothing wrong anywhere, ever.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Betty. And that brings us to the end of another fabulous show, Sherry. Here is our assignment. I'll allow myself to feel good, but not.
Now we move on to feeling good. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Take care, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.